Welcome to Off Script with Toast. I am your host, Will May.
And I'm Ashley Cervini, and we are the team leaders of Toast Real Estate Group. We're here to talk about our full disclosure on what it really takes to thrive in real estate while balancing life, family, kids, everything in between.
Yeah. What an intro. See? We're into it. Okay. This has been kind of a long time coming, Ashley, to get this podcast going.
Yeah.
It's been on our whiteboard as a goal throughout this year. Lance, our videographer, has followed up with us 46 times to get our first episode going. So I'm super excited to get started with this.
Yep. You're seasoned profesh at this. This is my first time ever doing a podcast or being on one. So I'm a little bit more nervous than you, but we'll see how this goes.
It's going to go well. Let's discuss kind of what we're going to be focusing on this podcast and why we're doing it.
Okay.
And like the main thing is to give kind of like a behind the scenes look at Toast Real Estate Group, but also share resources, best, you know, strategies and tactics that we've seen work this year. Anything else you can kind of cover here?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with all that. Just like how we have found success in real estate, you know, success means something different to every person and everyone's going to follow a different path, but we're going to share what's worked for us and what's working well for the agents that we're coaching, leading, and mentoring through. So that's what we're here to talk about.
Yep. And then kind of balancing just everything outside of real estate when it comes to family and relationship, mindset, spirituality, different things like that, that, you know, we involved with our team that's kind of built our culture.
Yes.
Cool. So let's go through first the transition. So this podcast used to be the Built Different podcast, and now we've kind of transitioned that to Off Script with Toast, just kind of follows our career path. So I feel like we should do a little bit of an intro to you and what your career has been up until now, and then I'll kind of give a quick update on mine and then how this all came together.
Okay. So, I mean, I've been in real estate for about 8 years now, transitioned into running a team. Now, this is a two-year anniversary of Toast, actually, coming up in February. So February 2025, 2 years of running a team. And Will's joined me, which he'll get in his intro in here in a little second, about a year ago. We've been running the team together for a year now. And it just kind of show the pathway of what's happened for me. I was a solo agent. I've been on teams. I'm running a team now. I've done all the different versions of it. And when I was a solo agent, before I transitioned into team, I was doing about 30 units a year, I would say. And then I brought on one agent. And between the two of us, she kind of started the last half of the year. We did about 56 units. And then really when we created Toast and started bringing on additional agents to the team, that very first year of Toast's first year, we did 87 units. It was two agents and we brought on one more at the end of the year. And then this year, we are pacing to hit 145. Yeah. So it was a really great year of growth for us. And a lot of changes happened and a lot of transitions from going from solo to being on a team and running a team. But I'll let you do your intro as well of kind of your transition out of the brokerage role so everyone knows where you're at today. I'm still in production, by the way. So I still am selling houses. My goal is to do about sell a house a week. It's literally a motto that we talk about every single day on our team. I say it every day. I visualize it. I manifest it. Sell a house a week. So my goal is to do about 52 units a year while we're still running the team and I'm still in production.
Yeah. You're not a numbers person, but you got all of those right.
Yeah.
Only one was wrong. You did 83 units last year, not 87. But other than that, every single number was pretty spot on.
Exaggerated a little bit then.
She has a thing where she's like, usually whatever number she says, it's usually 60% of that high or low. So I felt like that was like a good run through of all the numbers. I, on my side, started in real estate in 2015. A lot of you guys know, just from watching the Built Different podcast and my journey, but, I was a big door knocker. I sold in Huntington Beach, California. I knocked on 62,000 doors when I was there. And that kind of became like my thing in real estate was lead generation and scripting. Moved back from California to Omaha and led the brokerage here for four and a half years. And as we've kind of like our relationship has kind of evolved and our family goals and just having a blended family has kind of taken its course over the past year, year and a half. It just made sense to work on one thing instead of two. So now I've been able to step out of that brokerage leadership role and use the skills and, you know, the skill sets that I developed in leadership and then in real estate sales to focus on a smaller group of people. So I don't know, just finding that kind of balance between the two of us has been difficult at times and also awesome. Just between the two of us, finding a way that we can lead a team in unison together and finding our different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. And we have three children between the two of us together. So blended family of five. So life is crazy. We live together, we work together, and somehow are figuring out a way to maintain our sanity. Because as you can imagine, working together, if you have a small fight at home, things like that, you don't want to bring that into the workplace. So we'll get into that in future episodes of life behind the scenes at Toast.
The team, we look at it like we have the kids at home, and then the team, they call us mom and dad. So they know when they're fighting. Like mm-hmm. They know when we're having an issue. So there's a little bit different energy, but we're able to kind of approach those things. And for like relationships out there, and for people that are in business, whether you work with your partner or not, these are like real things that people go through. And I think a lot of times with podcasts and with team members and agents that have found success, kind of like what I've done on the Built Different podcast, I want to bring like the realness to it, or the authenticity of like, it's not always perfect. We deal with a lot of different things as we go through this. And so like to share those with everybody and not put up like a picture perfect front, right? Mm-hmm. But to give the real, you know, behind the scenes of running a team and trying to like balance life. I think that's kind of the purpose of why we're doing this. Yeah. And then to share, you know, our strategies and just be an open book of this is what we're doing and finding success in. And these are the things you could be doing next year.
Yep. It's messy. It's not an easy journey. It's not a straight line. Looks like a bunch of spaghetti noodles of what we've gotten through to get here.
Never heard that.
You know, all the little swirlies. Yeah, no. It's like not a straight line.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching this on video if you're just listening, but I'm doing a straight line over here. But yeah, I mean, do we want to talk about the structure of our team so everybody has context to what comprises the Toast team, what makes that up as we kind of get into team standards and all of that? And
yeah, I like it.
Go from there?
Yeah, for sure. So let's go through, because we're going to cover today like our org chart of who's on our team, who's our operations team, how many agents, and then we're going to cover our team standards. Mm-hmm. So I think an important part of this, as we continue to grow over the next year, 2 years, we have big goals with our team. This year, let's give some context. We did 145 units. We're pacing right around like closing 155 to 160 is probably where we'll land this year. Mm-hmm. Our goal next year is 225 units.
Yep.
We know that we're probably going to need to bring a couple agents on in the process of the next probably 6 months or so in order for us to hit that goal. But I want to kind of like, pull back the curtain. Who's on our team? Mm-hmm. What is it that we do really well? So do you want to talk through like the overall structure of Toast and then how we evolve from core team to shared services and what those mean?
Yeah, so we have 6 producing agents on our team, including myself. And we have 2 models, if you will, on the team. We have the core team and the shared services. And shared services wasn't always there from the beginning. Core team was myself and one other agent, so having a buyer agent, which is a little bit of an unconventional model that if you're outside of the KW world, seems odd whenever I talk to people about it. They think it's a strange model. So I don't work with buyers at all. I only work with sellers. I only work the listings. And then my buyer agent, which is Katie Langenfeld. If you guys have seen her on social media or anywhere else that you're watching, she's amazing. She works with just the buyers. So we essentially share clients. If we're dual ending something, she works the buy side. I work with the list side. So that's our core team model that we work together on. And then as Will and I were kind of evolving the team and growing and learning what's working well, what's not working well, we decided to expand to our shared services model. And that's more of our plug-in model, if you will, that plugs into our marketing and operation services that helped us be so successful on the core team. We wanted to replicate that, but allow the agents to still plug in, if you will, use all of the services, admin stuff that we do for them so that they can focus just on the client-facing work. But they do work with both buyers and sellers, like a quote-unquote conventional agent, if you will.
Yep. And so we started to realize that people could plug into this because we're operations heavy. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about, the people that we have on salary for operations. But when we realized like core team structure is working really well, where you're doing all listings and then all buy sides are done by the buyer's agent, that's when we started to focus on allowing other agents come into the team, do buy and sell, but plug into the same processes, procedures, almost like a lightened version of core team. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that we do on Toast Real Estate Group is piloted through core team and then rolled out to shared services as best practices and things to follow. So when we talk about goals as a whole, doing 150 this year was our unit goal. And moving forward, whatever unit goal we have, core team will always be equal to shared services. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be the focus moving forward. And this year, when we hit the 140 number in total units as a team, 70 came from core team, 70 came from shared services, which I was actually really surprised that we hit exactly 50%.
Me too.
But it just shows like the model that we're following, you know, there, if you follow MREA, it might not be perfectly to the to a T.
A lot of MREA people is. Might not know what MREA is if they're listening. So what's MREA?
So that's Millionaire Real Estate Agent. It's a book obviously written by Keller Williams, and it's a model at which has been followed for a really long time when it comes to building successful real estate teams. And we've kind of just made our own adaptation to that based off of the current market and what our skill sets were from a team perspective. Mm-hmm. So as we do 225 units next year, we have them split out 113 core team, 112 shared services. And our goal is to truly stick to that because we know if we're leading by example on core team, that's going to flow over into our shared services and allow them a different path and an easier path to success.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that's important. So, so we went through kind of core team versus shared services. Want to cover next team standards, or do you want to go through our operations side of the business, which is your
favorite? We can go through operations side to just give context to everything. So we are operations heavy. If from looking from the outside, anybody who's running a team, that's what they always tell us. And we're okay with that because the agents do less and they can focus on the people side of the business and not all of the other stuff that if you're a realtor listening to this, you know how much goes into planning events and pop buys and paperwork and all the other stuff that we do. It's not just opening a door and showing houses and negotiating contracts. So we have 3 operations people to 6 agents, 3 full-time admin. We have a stager / listing manager, Asia. She's fantastic. So we brought staging in-house and we stage all of our own properties. So that was a big piece of our business that we transitioned to this year. And listing manager. So she goes on listing appointments with the agents, a lot of listing appointments with myself. And she just really helps us stay organized so that we can focus on the client. And she's coordinating everything behind the scenes, from photos to 2D floor plans to pre-inspection, staging, dropping off signs, like taking a lot of that stuff off of my plate and the agent's plate so that we can do what we do best, which is talk to people and sell houses.
Yep.
So that's Asia, and she does a lot more than that, but that's just in a nutshell. And then we have Nicole, our marketing manager, and she does exactly what that title is. She does all things marketing, from website management to helping prep flyers for our open houses to things with social media, our email newsletter that goes out to our clients each week. She preps that for all of the agents and handles all of that, event coordination, pop buys, those type of things. And then we have Maya, the newest member of our team, who's our administrative assistant, where she's currently in this like catch-all position. We're still kind of learning as we'll go. And you'll hear that a lot along the way on this podcast, that we're not perfect. We don't know the right way to do every single thing. We're learning and trying new things and modeling after other teams that we can learn from as well. But she's going to be helping as a showing assistant. She's going to be helping as staging. She's helping with all back end runner things, prepping closing gift baskets for the agents, just anything and everything that Asia and Nicole can't handle themselves. And then a lot of direct support for Will and I as team leaders on just projects and things that we're working on for vision, growth, and things that we need to do to move the company forward.
Yeah, hiring's been interesting. I feel like, you know, it's scary to bring salaries on and probably any sales industry, right? They're not revenue producing, but they're allowing our agents to stay front-facing to clients. I feel like we probably have, you know, fallen into the trap of hiring out of pain at times. And the good and bad of that's been we learned a lot of lessons. And I think we also, like, were able to, through those, not bad hires, but maybe, like, we weren't quite ready or didn't know what they were going to be doing. Mm-hmm. But we knew we needed help. I think we've learned what the roles necessary for our team have been.
Yes.
So I feel like that's been a little bit of a challenge, but coming from a lot of agents out there that do need leverage, mm-hmm. It's never going to be perfect. And I think you always talk about this in a really good way of your first hire. What's kind of your mindset when you bring on your first salary when it comes to like, oh my gosh, I may have to bring on somebody 30, 40, 45,000 mm-hmm. per year. Mm-hmm. How did you approach that the first time?
Well, I was very scared the first time because it changes when you just have to put food on the table for your family and now you're hiring someone. So now you feel obligated to sell houses. Like mm-hmm. I have to sell so that I can make sure that this person is covered. And it's scary because you're like, what if I don't do enough business? But I think it was actually, I keep going back to this, the MREA book. It's actually where I read it, where Gary Keller said, you know, you're looking at it with such a fixed mindset of you're hiring somebody for $40,000 a year. So like that seems so monumental, but really, it's a 90-day kind of trial period. You hope that you interview well and you find the right fit and it works out perfectly the first time, but the reality is it doesn't. But you're not locked into that person forever. You're going to know with doing a 30, 60, 90-day assessment of your new hire if they're a good fit or not. And if not, you know, you guys are unfortunately transitioning that person out. So you really just need to commit to 3 months of pay. Mm-hmm. If you can afford to pay that person 3 months of pay, have a cushion saved up to get them going, you're going to know in 90 days if it's working because you're going to be selling more houses because you're hiring that person as leverage to take task work off your plate.
Yep. And that those roles will always evolve, right? You can't 100% know how somebody's going to come into your organization as an employee or agent or whatever it may be and know exactly what they're going to be great at. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it always evolves as you continue to make these hires.
Yep. So do you want to skip forward a little bit and talk about our team structure and standards and expectations of the Toast team and where we're going with that?
Yeah, we can kind of go through these one at a time. And then I think we've done a pretty good job of overall understanding like what our total business is and what the operations teams are there to essentially let's allow our agents to do the most important things in their business, which is all client facing and generate revenue. Mm-hmm. From an agent, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, one thing Will and I have talked a lot about as we've grown this team is we want to stay very, very focused on our vision of staying small but highly productive. And I think where a lot of people, I don't want to say go wrong because there's not necessarily a right or wrong. There's different models to real estate, but a lot of people get trapped into doing mm-hmm. when they start a team because it's extremely easy to do as you start adding expenses and operations on is, oh, I need to go hire a bunch of agents because they look at the agents as money,
yep.
right? The agent sells houses, you get a split, you get more money. But those models don't always work if you don't have the proper infrastructure, training, tools, resources, mentorship, accountability, which is what we're going to talk about next, to retain those people.
Yep.
You see them join teams. They kind of learn what they need to learn, and then they go off and start doing it themselves because there's not enough value add on that team for them to stay and retain them.
Yeah, I think our target, like best culture fit for our team from an agent perspective is somebody that probably is reaching their capacity somewhere between like, you know, 15 to 25 units and feels like they don't have any time, but they know they can do more. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the type of agents that we want to bring in and show them a different way of going about this industry to grow their business and reach success with some leverage.
Yeah.
The accountability side, I think, has become kind of the culture of our team. So these are just some of the standards that we have on our team from an agent perspective to make sure that we're hitting like every bucket of an agent's business. So the first one is we do gratitude and intention every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9:15 to 9:30 in mm-hmm. person.
Yep.
That's kind of evolved over time. Mm-hmm. That originally was a text message and then it was a call. And we started to realize like the benefits of having everybody in person and the energy that comes from that. So I feel like that's helped our team quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't feel like you can put a dollar amount on culture and it's really important. And our agents just commented on that this week of like, they really like doing it in person and catching up on your lives and what's going on in your world and bringing everyone together. Because in real estate, it's not very often you have every agent on your team in the office all at the same time.
Yeah. And it gives everybody an idea of like, if we have four of our agents are lead generating today, you don't want to be the one that's not, right? So as we start to go through that, part of that intention is how many people are we going to talk to every single day? And if that's on the forefront of our mind, it's not going to be perfect every day, but there's a better chance that we end up having our agents and ourselves actually do those activities. Mm-hmm. The second one is after we do intention and gratitude is script and role play. 9:30 to 10, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think this has been, this has again, become kind of the identity of our team. We named this off script. We're big on scripting on our team. So having that be a focus and practicing skill sets, I think I've seen a huge, huge change in our agent's ability to convert mm-hmm. and to actually do lead generation and feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, and I actually don't like the word script, but we use it a lot, script and role play, because that's what it is. But I don't think we teach people scripts, because scripts is when you sit there and you memorize something, which you can't do with people. I think you teach people how to think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that makes a big difference. And we'll get into that in a later episode. We actually have that as one, as the structure of a conversation and scripting and yep. conversion and stuff like that. But it's really teaching people how to think, how to ask the right questions to really find a problem with the client and help them solve that problem.
Yep.
And it's as simple as that, but I think we overcomplicate it sometimes in real estate.
100%. Through repetitions is mastery. We internalize them, but we've helped our agents understand scripting and how to speak to people in a structure versus these are the words you need to say.
Yes.
Third one of our standards on our team are daily activity tracking. So that kind of pairs with weekly coaching. So they coach Have coaching sessions with me once a week. We track all of their numbers. So that's been extremely beneficial for goal setting this year. Another episode that we'll have. But we track goal units, how many closed and pending so far this year, how many appointments they had in the past week, how many showings they went on, and how many conversations.
Yep.
So with those are like our kind of KPIs that are like the main activities we track on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And then weekly we track, has their database grown? And then pipeline numbers of how many people are in each, you know, different bucket of their pipeline, what they're focusing on in reading, and then what's their biggest need to focus on in their business.
Yeah.
That's been our coaching.
Yes. Open houses too, you added on there. But I love that, you know, when I started coaching with you, that we also focus on a lot of mindset pieces, personal growth, what book you're reading. So Will's always talking to the agents about what are you doing to focus on yourself? Because we've learned over the years for ourselves personally and the agents, right? If we're not working on ourselves and our own mindset and we're not happy like there internally, everything else in your life goes wrong.
That's right. Literally. Literally. So I think that's really big. So you cover a couple there. Two open houses a month.
Yep.
We rep a builder, THI Builder. So both of those, are they both at open houses? Explain the open house structure.
Yeah, I mean, at least two open houses a month, but I would say most of our agents end up doing 3 to 4 a month. It just kind of depends. And then they're expected to do at least one at THI, but it seems to be more and more as THI, who we partner with, is continuing to grow and open up new developments and everything there. We're starting to add more open houses on with that as well.
Yep, love it. We have an 18 unit minimum and a $4.5 million volume standard. So one or the other on that. What was the idea behind setting a standard and then holding to that standard?
Oh, the dreaded standards.
Yeah, that one. I mean, it's something that we talk about with agents when they come on early, like at month 9, we're going to talk about where we're at and if we're on track.
Yeah.
But it's just important to have highly productive agents on our team and to build a culture of efficiency, but also success.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not meant to be this like awful thing. Like you're off the team if you don't hit it, but we set you up with the tools and resources to be able to do it. And we also set that expectation from the very beginning when you join your team. We know we're not for everybody. We know that there's a lot of teams that say that they have standards, but don't really follow them. If the agent's selling 3 houses a year, it's fine to stay on the team. That's just not what we're looking for and where we want to be as a team. I mean, that's not right or wrong or indifferent. It's just how we are. And we set that for ourselves because, you know, we wanted to stay small and have the time and the capacity to actually help the agents on our team and mentor them and invest our time in people that are also wanting to invest in themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in a position where you personally want to work in real estate full time and be committed to it as like, this is my career path and where I'm going, and that's okay if not, this is not the team, you know, necessarily for you. We really want this to be, this is their career where they want to be, and they want to find success in real estate. And we're going to give them the tools to do that. But with that, there's standards, expectations, and minimums that you have to hit to stay on our team.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Because the moment on a team somebody doesn't hit the standards or do the activities, everybody then starts to fall to that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like holding that's been a really big benefit to our agents and their success. Mm-hmm. Last one, be a good person.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. I think that's really big. Every team says they'd have no drama. I think we really do have no drama. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is the way we do that is we all know each other really, really well. So we're able to understand how somebody may be feeling, have an open conversation. But the biggest thing is like, be good, have a growth mindset, be a nice human. And then, you know, everything else kind of figures itself out.
Yep. I mean, I don't really have anything to add. Don't be judgmental. Everyone on our team, we have a great group of women, and then Will.
We will.
We always joke that we need more men, but we have a very feminine brand. I understand that. So, but you know, women rule the world, and they're great. So,
you're leaving me in a spot where I can't answer. So, we're gonna go ahead and start to wrap up here. But I think for us, as we continue to grow, we're gonna be giving out resources, tools. If you are an agent that you know, wants resources, leverage, wants to understand what a team offers, we would absolutely love the opportunity to speak with you. And again, we know we're not hiring quickly, or we're not for everybody, but we are a team of accountability and discipline. And I think we're gonna start to see that really pay off even more in 2025.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're looking to bring on 2 probably by February.
Yep.
Is kind of a goal that we have for ourselves, and I think 4 by end of 2025. So a total of 5. If we seem like a good fit or anything that we've said on here today matches what you're looking for, mentorship and coaching and accountability, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
But for next week, we're going to be sharing our 2025 marketing schedule and database touchpoint plan with you. So we're going to lay out our entire plan for 2025. We just did this with our entire team for business planning of exactly what we're going to be doing every month, every week, all of our touchpoints to our clients. Feel free to listen, steal some of our ideas, implement whatever you want. But we're going to be diving into that next week, and hopefully you'll have some stuff that you can take away from it.
Love it. I think that's it.
Okay.
You got outro? Stay tuned.
I didn't even know what an outro was till today.